judgment there. That's just pure romance. That's what we're called into. And there's a dynamic and a power that begins to be released in our soul when we respond that way. And in that romance, he calls us into his mission. John 20, 21 to 22, Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you." That's a gift. But in my conscious mind, I have to labor to enter into it. Because there's things that happen all around me. Huh? Like when I heard about this young guy, Andrew. Peace in my life wasn't shattered, but peace of mind was gone. I was aching for this person. You know? And his wife and the kids. You know? And I have to pray in my soul, God, that if this is his time of promotion, that you will make a way for that bride and for those children. Because the scripture says that the Lord cares for the widow and for the orphan. God, you got to make a way. But in my soul, I didn't feel a whole lot of peace about it. Are you with me? As the Father sent me, even I am sending you. That's the every believer. And when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." John 6, 38 to 40. "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up the last day." Some people say, "Well, you know, John, why are you so sure in the security of the believer?" Well, here's a strong reason right here. "And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose only a small number, or a few, or the openly rebellious. I should lose," what? "Nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up the last day." If you've genuinely accepted Christ, God has given you to the Son, and he won't lose you. That should produce some sense of peace. "For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life." Hopefully, that's you. "And I will raise him up the last day." Matthew 28, 19. "Go therefore, make disciples of all nations," and you know the rest. He doesn't say just make converts. You invited a young man to church. And there he accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we put him out in the parking lot and said, "Good luck. See you around." No, we undertook to disciple him. Now he sits at the desk and says, "Hey, John, you forgot this. Can we have this now?" "No, it's later." Yeah. We disciple. We're called to make disciples, not converts. I remember years ago, we were still living in Lindsay, Ontario. And we had the local news on. And some truck drivers went into a gas facility. And they parked their vehicles and got. And the guy heard something funny when he went back to get in his truck. And he looked down, and here was an infant wrapped in a blanket underneath his truck and abandoned. God doesn't do that. God forbid I do it. That when a convert comes in here, we make a commitment to them to love them and to disciple them. Might mean periodically we got to smack them in the back of the head. You know, I liked NCIS, you know, DeNozzo, smarten up. You know. And he needed it. Yeah. "Whom the Lord loveth, the Lord chasteneth." Yeah. My dad's favorite verse was, "Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction drives it far from him." He didn't know many verses of Scripture, but he knew that one. You know, Isaiah 6 and 8. Isaiah 6 is one of my favorite portions of Scripture. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And the train of his robe filled the temple. And the angels cried, "Holy, holy, holy." And there was a seraphim were there. And they had six wings. With two they covered their eyes, with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one took a coal off the altar and placed it upon another. He says, "Your iniquity has been removed." And after this, Isaiah hears a voice saying to him, "I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Isaiah, will you go?" No. It says, "Who shall I send?" And that call is still going on. It goes out to every believer. We're called to be involved, not in our ministry, not in our mission, not in our purpose, but in his, to make disciples. "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" What was the response? And this needs to be my response. Every day of every week, not just of 2025, but until the Lord comes and I see him. He said, "Here I am. Send me." And listen, that's a love response. "Please, Lord, let me see your glory. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and to inquire in his tabernacle, and to behold the beauty of the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Abide in him. Abide in his word. Pray." I wrote something, and my wife gave me a new journal book, and I've been using it for certain things. This is from Oswald Chambers. "When we no longer seek God for his blessings, we have time to seek him for himself." Ouch. Yeah. Why not just seek him? And seek ye first the kingdom of God, and a few of these things will trickle in. All these things will be added unto you. If I get my priority right and learn to wait on him, and understand that I'm invited into a love relationship with him, things just go better. Are we okay now? We're at the right spot now? Yeah, you can put it up. I'll get you to stand. We're going to sing this with the video, and then Josh is going to come and lead us in our closing hymn.